Ashley here this morning, we ask that you will pour your Holy Spirit through him. Lord, we raise him to you. We ask that the words will come through him and reach our ears, Lord, and open our hearts and our minds, Lord, to your word. We raise it all to you in your holy, sweet name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, man. Appreciate that. I would like to say first that I don't get to do that enough, or I don't remember, I guess, is to say thank you. Yeah, I say thank you, Pastor Tom, and you say, well, he's not here. I say, well, but he is actually here because he'd be looking at my word on Monday, see how I did. He'd be checking me out, giving me a little advice. And that's why I say thank you, because it is, I say thank you to the elders. I say thank you to my family, for my sweetheart putting up with me. It's it can be difficult sometimes. Sometimes there's late nights and just all kinds of things that can get in the way when you choose to love people. And God put that on my heart to love people. But it is such a beautiful thing to get to do that, you know, through this congregation. And I cherish that. And I want you to know that. I always say I'd do it for free. And sometimes I got to pinch myself and say, I can't believe they pay me to do this. That is so awesome. So thank you so much. It is a true blessing to me. Want to take a look at the Word? Pastor said last night that are you ready? And I said, well, sure, I'm ready. It says the Word says to be ready, doesn't it, Pastor? Well, I'm ready then. So we're going to take a look. It's going to take me a second to get right here, I think. As I was sitting there and going through some words, something that's very dear to me is a testimony. We every time we have a men's fellowship, we have a testimony, because it's just such a beautiful time for somebody to say, hey, look, this is what God has done in my life, and it just resonates with people. You know, they get to know somebody for the first time. Sometimes they hear their testimony and they're like, wow, you're kidding me. I had no idea that you had been through that, you know. Or in some cases, it's I can't believe that you went through that, and that's me. I'm going through that right now. It's just amazing how God does that. One time we were at Jay's, and somebody gave a testimony about being being in trouble with the law, and here's Art Lohman sitting in a crowd, which he wasn't even supposed to be there. It just worked out that he could make it. This particular night, he was in from Florida, and he's sitting in the crowd, and the guy looks out and says, and it was Art it took your breath away. And I was like, wow, you know, that moment they clicked, and Art got to see that, man, I had an impact in this guy's life, you know what I mean, for Christ. And it was just so beautiful, and that's why I love testimonies, because God does that. They're one time, and as I looked at what I was going to talk about this morning, as I spent some time, it came to me as, what's God doing in your life? Is what came to my heart. And I can remember back when, it's been a few years ago, me and my sweetheart, we go away for our anniversary, and sometimes if we're blessed, we'll go away in the summertime. Sometimes we take the kids, sometimes we don't. We take them more often now because we don't homeschool as much, but back then people would ask me, say, You're going just the two of you again? Why don't you take your kids with you on vacation? I said, because we see them every day, all day long. We're taking a vacation from the kids. Homeschool families don't understand what I mean there. Yeah, sometimes that's a little overwhelming, but yes, we got to go away, and it's a beautiful thing to do that. I know you enjoy your vacations, but this particular time we went down off Chrisfield is Smith Island. I don't know if you've ever been there before. It's an awesome trip to go out there. We went out to Tollerton to a place called the End of Silent Music, which, if I'm honest, I got this going and this idea, but I was a little apprehensive because there's, like, nothing to do there. I mean, seriously, they watch cars rust for fun. I mean, it is extremely boring. But that's what it's about. We had some communion, me and Nance, together, and I was learning then and still am. But we decide we're going to go. So we take the boat ride out to Tollerton. We hang out in just a beautiful place, this End of Silent Music. It's just a bed and breakfast. And we go up to town, and there's really, like I said, nothing to do. There's a little store there that you can get ice cream cone, which, boy, ice cream is really good when you have nothing else to do. So we went and did that, but they also had a church on the island. I said, well, oh, man, that's going to be awesome. I can't wait to go to church with these folks out on the island and just get to meet them, because they're not really outgoing. You know, they don't stand out on the step and wait for you to walk by. And, you know, some are, but most not. They get tired of the tourists, I'm pretty sure. But we decided to go to church. So we go to church, and after they're finished, they invite us downstairs. Was it after they finished, or were we downstairs? I think it was after they were finished. They invite everybody downstairs, and it's not like you can't go. I mean, you have to go down the stairs. Everybody's moving in that direction, and you go downstairs, they're going to have a meal together. Well, they all circle up in the room, and I'm standing there, we're all in a circle, and I think they're going to pray. And they said, we're going to tell each other what God has done over the last week, and as we usually do, and you can go first over there. And it's like the guy right next to me, and I'm like, I'm going to... I'm trying, oh my gosh, I got to come up with something that the Lord did. You know, and I'm like panicking. But they do this every week. They spend time saying, this is what God did this week in my life. And each one of the families goes around the circle and tells that. And I thought that was neat. So as I thought about that, I wanted to talk to you just for a moment about this principle, of sharing what God is doing in your life. Otherwise known as a testimony. And when I'm done, I'm going to actually give you an opportunity to give a report. That's what they did in God's Word, and I'm going to show you that in Acts. But I'm going to give you an opportunity to do the same thing when we're finished, is to have just a time of testimony. We haven't done it for a while, so I'm giving you a few minutes to so you don't have to jump up like I did and go, I'll give you a couple more minutes than I had. All right? So if you would, turn to in your Bibles to Acts chapter 13, and I'll show you where this principle comes from. One place. This isn't an exhaustive list. It's in many places in God's Word. But one place it comes is in chapter 13 there, beginning in verse 1 through 3. I'm going to read to you. It says, in the church at Antioch, where there were prophets and teachers, and it goes through all their names, and I won't try to do that. It says, but while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Did you know that God has set all believers apart, that He has a specific work for you, every one of you? And the in Sunday school, we're actually going through that. So if you missed this morning, again, another plug, come out to Sunday school next week, because that's what we're talking about. And he went over Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 today, which says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So God's already prepared them. And He's created you. You are His workmanship. He's created you to do these good works. God has a work for you to do. And He's equipping you and to do it. And that's another thing I say thank you for. Thank you for I get the opportunity to take my gifts and learn and become better at using them. That is equipping me. And in turn, what I try to do is equip you. That's what Pastor tries to do, equip you. The leaders of our church want to equip you in your specific way of loving people. Because remember what I said a few weeks ago when I preached, there, if you're not using your gift, the church, somebody is suffering. That's how important it is. Your gift is so important, somebody is suffering. He has given you these gifts, and I know if you're new to hearing that, you're like, gifts, when I get a present or something, I missed it. Maybe, would it have a bow on it? These gifts are abilities and talents that God has given you. There's a list of them in the Word, and we're going to go through them in Sunday school class. Again, I encourage you to come. But these gifts are for so that you can use them to love people. The overarching goal of the church, and I'm paraphrasing this, the overarching goal of the church is to worship God, right, because He is worthy to be praised, and then also to love people. To love people by learning. First, I have to learn how to do that. When I first came to know Christ and went from that old man, that old person, to this new creation, I had to learn. I didn't know how to love people, and I'm still learning today. That's what disciple means, right? Disciple means learner. So I have to learn and then teach others to be more like Jesus every day. That's the overarching goal. How you are called to do that, I do not know. I figured it out for myself. It took me a while, but I finally got it. It takes some time sometimes. Sometimes you know immediately. God puts a pimp, poof, and it's this right here. Sometimes it takes a while. I tried a bunch of different stuff leading me towards what eventually God called me to do. God has set apart these men also. This is one of those times when He set apart some men and He gave them gifts. You know, if you look through Paul and Barnabas, for sure they were evangelists, right? The gift of evangelizing, they had that for sure. And they went all over doing that. The rest of Acts chapter 13 is about Paul and Barnabas using their gifts to spread the word, to spread the good news of Jesus. That there was no way that you could be good enough to make it to heaven. You could not be good enough. That Jesus shed His blood for the forgiveness of our sins, and that He rose from the grave on the third day to give us eternal life. The relationship that got with God that was broken, that was lost in the Garden of Eden, was restored through Jesus, through His one and only Son, and that whoever believes in Him will be saved. That's what they did. That was their job, to go tell people that. And that's our job too. However it fleshes out. And I'm going to talk about that just for a second. That's what God called them to do. That's what He calls us to do. The church in Antioch had sent them out and to do what God had said. God said, go tell people who I am. And that's what they went to do. And as they went from town to town, that's just what they did. Sometimes it was received with, and that's where the word trials comes in, right? Sometimes it was received with joy, and many people come to know the Lord as their Savior. Not every time, though. Sometimes in Acts chapter 14, Paul was stoned close to death. And notice I said close to death, because when God has a plan for your life, man cannot stand against it. God will take it through to completion if we say, here I am, Lord, and surrender. Here I am, Lord. And that's imperfectly as well. We can't do that perfectly, but we say, Lord, show me what it is, and I'll, in obedience, then the Spirit says, do this. I say, okay. And that's as simple as it gets. So Paul and Barnabas go through all these towns, and then they turn around, and they head back. And they go through a lot of the same towns that they went through before. Why? Number one reason, to encourage. They go back through the town. It's hard, right? That's the one thing the church needs, I think, more than anything else, is encouragers. Because it's hard. Life is hard. And especially if you decide to love people. I've talked about that every time I come up here. Loving people, it ain't easy. And some of you love me and going, they're looking at me going, yeah, well, you're right, man. It ain't easy to love you, Ashley. You know, sometimes it's hard, right? And we need encouragement. You know, we need encouragement to say, keep on going, get her done, right? So I want you to see what happens, though, when they come back. They circle back around and come back to the church in Antioch, which had said, hey, go. So they come all the way back to that church. And it's in Acts chapter 14, verse 27. It says, on arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how He had opened the door to faith, the door of faith to the Gentiles. They came back and told the church what God had did. They said, look, this is what's happening, right? Well, every week, Pastor encourages us, some way, somehow, he encourages us to walk in the Spirit, to go out into this world and tell somebody about Jesus. that we naturally these stories that we get back, that it naturally happens when we're together. You know, we say, "Man, I was talking to somebody today. The other day, I met an old friend at McDonald's. You know, and I talked to him a little bit about the Lord planted a seed. I know that I'll see him again. You know, and I planted that seed. And you know, the first thing I want to do is say, "Man, you know, pray for me. Pray for me and my friend, because I want the opportunity to tell him about the Lord." You know, so that's what I do. I come back and I'll tell somebody, one of my friends, you know, somebody that's close to me, please, you know, please pray for me as I have opportunity to do that. Sometimes it's just an act of service. It's not necessarily, you know, what I do, you know, that you need to do, or what they did, going around telling people about Jesus. You know, they go into the synagogue and just stand up and start talking about the Word, you know, explaining what the prophecy meant. But that, maybe that's not you. Sometimes it's just acts of service. Like, for example, the youth group goes over every week, and almost every week, goes over every week and cleans up the consignment store for the Haven Shelter that's right across the street. You know, it's an awesome act of service that we can do, and it's a beautiful thing. But every week, I need somebody to take them over there. You know, just to walk across the street with them, take them over there. Most of the time, I got somebody. But hey, that might be you. You might say, "Hey, you know, that would be me. I'll show up here about 7:30 or so and take them over. I mean, it's a half-hour job." That could be you. It doesn't have to be, your gift doesn't have to be like mine. You know, it doesn't have to be a speaking gift. It can be a work of service, you know, something in the background. That needs to be done. You know, somebody came in here and straightened all the chairs up so you wouldn't have to. You know, there's all kinds of gifts that God has given. And the purpose, it brings a testimony. And the purpose of telling what God is doing in our life, it brings joy. You know, that's what we want to do. We want to have joy and peace in our life. And God does that through the working of our gifts. You know, it brings great joy to do what God has asked me to do. I love coming up here. And perfectly as I do it sometimes, I love it. I love coming up and using my gift and trying to make it better so I can encourage you. Because there's nothing more that I want than you to find out what yours is, so you can effectively tell people about Jesus better. That's my heart. Another place where he says this is in Acts 21, verse 19 and 20. It says, "Paul greeted them and reported in detail what God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry." And guess what happens after he does that? The next part of the scripture is so awesome. He says, "When they heard this, they praised God." You know, that's the cool thing about giving a testimony. You know, is when you report back what God is doing, you know, we praise God. We say, "Praise God." I don't want to guess how many times I've said that in my life. You know, when somebody has come and said, "So-and-so, you know, came to know the Lord," or, "Man, this is what God's doing." I say, "Praise God." You know, that is so awesome that He's working in your life that way. It brings encouragement. Remember, it's not boasting. We are to share what God has done, not what we have done, right? It's not boasting. It's saying, "God, you are awesome, and it is so beautiful what you've done." Pastor said one time, he said, "Hey," and he says this from time to time, "get in the game." You remember him saying that before? He says, "Get in the game, and you're missing out on this walk in the Spirit, this walk with the Lord." He says, and I know, again, that you might be saying, "Hey, I can't do what you do, Ashley. I can't play that game. That's not how I work." You know what I say? I say hogwash. That's old for nuh-uh. That ain't true. The truth is that you might just play the game differently. That's all. You're just part of the game, but it's just different. And what I mean by that is, maybe how many of you know? You know that I love to tell people about Jesus, right? You know that's Pastor Tom's thing. He loves to tell people about Jesus. How many of you pray for us? Thank you. You don't have to raise your hand. But I'm just saying, how many of you pray? I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, a huge deal. You know, I just recently asked for prayer last week. Last week I put it on the thing. I said, please help me to use my gift or to pray and to be available to tell people about Jesus. Because I get busy just like you. And I want to push right past them. I ain't got time for them. Matter of fact, the guy that was in McDonald's, I give that glory to God. Because guess what happened? I remembered. I said, I just prayed for this. And here's this guy, I mean, just walks right up to me. I ain't saw him for 15 years. I was like, man, this is awesome. And he walks right to me. You know, I prayed. God said, here you go. What are you going to do with it? And I said, because I was actually in a hurry. I didn't have time. Right, Grace? Grace said, I can't believe we stood there for an hour talking to that guy. I had to get home and do my homework. Balance. I got to try to find balance there. All right. That's another sermon. But the point is that just praying for me, you know, just praying for me. Somebody did, because that was on our men's prayer list, and I know somebody prayed for me, and God answered that prayer. That's how it works. You don't have to be the person up front. You know what I mean? The person in the back is so important. There's a bunch of ways to love people, you know, because that's what God has created you to do. All you have to do is, just like me, is you have to ask and then be ready to do what He asked you to do, right? That's all. Just ask, Lord, what is it, and then be ready. So we're going to do what we usually do informally. You know, many times somebody comes to me and says, hey, man, this is what happened. And we're going to do it more formally in the big group, which I do ask you to be brief. Briefly is very important when you give a testimony, especially in a large crowd, because we want to give as many people as opportunity as possible, right? So be brief with your testimony. Also, remember to share only what's appropriate, so you don't break trust with someone, because that is very, very important, not to break a trust with someone. So if you're not sure, play it safe and don't share. I mean, it's that important, right? So just make sure what you're sharing is appropriate, that the other person will know. Sometimes I ask Nancy as I'm going. I say, it's okay, Nancy, can I? And she'll go. Wrong time. Don't do that. Don't do that. That's not nice. So we got a couple runners, and we're just going to give you opportunity to share what God is doing in your life. And I'm encouraging you, because sometimes I know that there's somebody out there right now, for sure, that's got sweaty palms and are going, I'm supposed to say, but I don't want to. There is somebody that needs you to step out in faith. Because when you feel that, you can guarantee there's somebody in the room that needs to hear your testimony. You know, it's happened to me so many times. And I'm not condemning you, because there's been many times that I sat there with my sweaty palms and didn't say nothing. I'll have to do that next time. So don't feel pressure either. So, you know, that's not the point. We're a family. But somebody, who's first? Hey, there we go. Use the microphone so Pastor can hear what you say, and he might have to call you later. No.
This is really just for my wife and for you, Ashley, as well, because you do the text messages. She was vacuuming in the house the other day, and I was looking through some text messages. All of a sudden, at the exact same time that Jan said, Dwayne, I wonder how Pastor's mom's doing, at exact second is when your text message came through.
That's awesome.
That's God.
That's awesome. He does work like that, doesn't he? He'll take my breath away sometimes, just that way. How about somebody else? Oh, Wanda.
Yeah, it was about a year ago, January 18th, that Ron and I got that phone call that Aaron was in a skiing accident down at Roundtop. And I just want to give God the praise, because he was in rehab for like a month and a half, and we could just see God's hand, you know, with Aaron healing him and everything. And he's back to work now. He's been driving, going to school and everything. And I want to thank the church, because I know a lot of people prayed, you know, for him. And just continue to pray that God will just, you know, just help him in his decisions and choices, and just to heal his brain the best that it can be. So, Aaron, stand up a minute, for people don't know you. So, anyway.
Aaron said, oh, thank you very much. Just what I wanted to do, Mom.
So, anyway. So, just give God the praise. Thank you.
Amen. You know, because when you hear that, the first thing comes to my mind. Praise God, right? Praise God. That is so awesome what He did for Aaron in that terrible time, that trial, right? How about somebody else? Go ahead, Jason.
Well,
here, I'll just come straight to the front.
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Jason. I was involved in a vehicle accident when I was 16 years old. And my mother had said to me, you know, because at that time I was on a walker, and she's like, well, if you don't start using that walker, you'll never walk again. Well, I went to a church service. Gentleman laid hands on me, prayed, and here I am today.
Praise God.
No walker.
Amen. Praise God.
All because I stood on faith.
That's right.
Thank you for letting me
share.
Thank
you. Amen. Thank you, Jason. Praise God. It takes doing something sometimes, right? Can't just sit. Got to go. Word says to ask for it, and ask the elders to pray, right? And that's what he did. He did what God asked him to do. How about somebody else? Don't be shy. John and Eileen both put their hands up at the same time. So we'll keep the microphone over there for a couple minutes. That's pretty cute right there.
Well, as some of you know, most of you know, I want to first off thank you for your prayers. Back in December, I had a stroke. And I didn't make it to the hospital the day of the stroke. I didn't make it for 2 days. Well, praise God, I'm standing here. I still have a little difficulty reading, but I'm standing here telling you about it. And that's all God, because they say that when even a small stroke, if you don't get taken care of right away, there can be irreparable damage. Well, I was already irreparably damaged. But
I resemble that.
I mean, it could have been a lot worse, and that's all God and your prayers, because I know that there was a prayer request sent out once it was found out, and this is an awesome church to be in as far as if you're in trouble, people rally around you. Prayers, everything that you can conceive of is brought to you through Christ, through the people in this church. Thank you so much.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, brother.
I may find something else. That was mine, too. and I guess it is just praising the Lord for leaving him with me, because I don't know if even some of you know that a couple years ago he had a heart attack as well. So I realized that that work that he has laid out for us to do, that he's not finished with him yet.
Amen.
And also he may probably leave him here to take care of me. To make sure I do what I'm supposed to do, because sometimes I don't. But anyway, and I want to thank the church, too, because with that, to have members that come and visit, and I think I may have to call her out. Karen Booz went to visit, and oh, my gosh, she took down, the doctors came in, and she actually wrote down what they said, and I had to let her know what a blessing that was for me. One, because I have a feeling that if I'd asked him.
What? They said I was going to be better.
Yeah, and I'm like, and what else? And it's like, I don't know. So it's like, I need detail. And so I love you that you did that for me. That was just such a blessing. And so this is, we've been here for many years, and this place is a blessing, and I will tell anybody and everybody.
Amen.
Thanks.
Isn't that beautiful that he gives us what we need just at the right time? Because if I'd have been there, I would have took no notes. Right? He gave Karen, like, the perfect person to be there for what she needed at the perfect time. That's beautiful. Good, Phil.
My name's Phil, and I got saved about 22 years ago. And at the time, I became just kind of overbearing in my family and my love for Jesus. And I kind of pushed my oldest daughter away. She was probably 12 at the time. Well, just recently, she'd been married, and I've got two little granddaughters. They're just awesome down in North Carolina, so I don't see them very much. And I mean, I kind of gave up somewhat on my daughter, you know, praying for her because the way things have been. And God just does not give up. He, you know, recently, they've got my granddaughter in a Christian preschool, which surprised me to know. And just to get in there and to see my little granddaughter, or my daughter say, you know, Reagan, you didn't pray before our meal, and to see my little granddaughter. Just see the name, see Jesus come off her lips. Just God just does not give up, even when I'll kind of give up, you know. And that just really encourages me to engage them more. And just it's just awesome. It keeps going, you know. I'll get a thing on my phone, you know, of a little, you know, video of her. Oh, it's awesome. And I just want to praise God for that.
Praise God. Thanks, Phil. That is awesome that he will redeem our hearts and give us the desires, right, of our hearts. Because that was your desire all along. That's beautiful, brother. What's somebody else? Paula. Over on this side.
On Thursday, I went to a funeral. My sister's mother-in-law had passed away. And so I took the day off from work to go to the funeral. And, you know, when you go to funerals, you have no idea what to expect, whether the person was a believer or not. It depends when coworkers pass, this kind of thing. Well, I knew she was a believer, but I didn't really have an idea how strong a believer that she was. And all of the testimonies at the funeral were mainly from my brother-in-law and his sisters and just different people that came into her life, like the chaplain for hospice. She was sharing God's word till her last breath. But nonetheless, the pastor at the service, and it was amazing just how much the love of God was shared. These hymns this woman had written that her family, who was grieving and crying as they sang these hymns to us, was a beautiful thing. But how the Lord worked is that I'm an extrovert, but I'm a shy extrovert. I mean, like, I got the sweaty palms here going. But we have to be obedient. So when I got home, the Lord prompted me to get on Facebook. And those of you who are friends with me know, I don't post a lot. I'm not one to put my every thought out there and, you know, I'll go on and wish people happy birthday and stuff. But I said, I have to do this. I have to be obedient. So I put my testimony on Facebook about, hey, I took the day off of work. I went to a funeral. I didn't know what I was going to expect. And just the love of God was shared and how strong this woman's faith was. And that, you know, basically we who are left do not mourn as those who do not have hope. You know, I wrote the scripture, Ecclesiastes 3:11 says that he has set eternity in the hearts of men. And that this life is but a breath. We're just passing through. Mm-hmm. And so it was a way for me to share that I'm a Christian and that I have a faith, and I put that I know in my heart that I'm going to see her again and be with the Lord. And I wanted to put that out there because that's a way that we can share Christ with others, that they realize, hey, Paula's a Christian. And maybe, you know, they can approach me. And certain people replied that I'm friends with at the gym or different places. They were like, it piqued their interest. I could tell by their comments, you know. So I just want to say there's so many opportunities that we have with Twitter and Facebook and all this. And when the Lord puts it on our hearts, we should stop and be obedient and put it out there. And I'm just glad I did.
Praise God. Thank you, Paul. That is awesome. And that, you know, through that, we on the back of my truck, I'm about half crazy. Back of my truck, you know, I just put it out there. You would not believe, and probably in the last couple months, you know, I've had two people. One person just pulled up to me at the I was going into the hardware store, and they pulled up to me, like, cut me off. Like, she said, I'm sorry, you might think I'm crazy. She said, but I just want to tell you how much of a blessing your truck was to me about 3 months ago. I was going through a terrible time in my life, and I pulled out onto the highway, and there was your truck saying that he did it for me. I mean, it is the simplest things that you do that can make such a huge difference in somebody's life. I never even thought when I put that on there that somebody would be affected like that. I was just sharing my faith. It's just amazing. And by the way, if you would like to do that, I'll put free scripture on your truck. Right on the back. You tell me what you want on there, I'll write it right across the back of there. Well, maybe Dylan will now. But sign him up. Constant.
Been going to Safe Harbor for a really long time, and it never really felt like family. I've only been here a couple of weeks, and it really feels like home. Sorry. So I've been going through a hard time, a divorce, a nasty divorce, and have two little boys. And it was last week, I was just in one of those mindsets, you know, when you're not thinking and you're just going from point A to point B. You don't even know how you got there. Well, I had picked up my kids from daycare and I talked to my husband and it wasn't a very good conversation. And I'm going down the highway and I'm like, I didn't even think. And I look in the back seat and my three-year-old isn't in his car seat. I had been so focused on things that weren't important instead of what was important, and I stopped, you know, on 50 and put him in the car seat, and I sat there for a minute and I had to pray. I prayed what Pastor Tom had said the other day. You know, you ask him to come into your life and to heal. So I did that, and I was praying with my three-year-old. And he was repeating my words, which was amazing. And he said, you know, and then he said to me, Mommy, pray for Daddy. So I did. And, you know, at that moment, I realized that my three-year-old sees everything that I do and hears everything that I say. And it's so important. And it was about an hour after I had done that, and I felt like my head was clear, a little bit more clear, and I came up to, I was going to a church dinner at another church because a friend invited me, and I went to the stop sign where Baker's is and the Methodist church is across the street, and I stopped at that stop sign, and something was tugging on my heart. Something said, wait. You need to wait another minute. And I was about to pull out, and a car didn't stop at that stop sign like they're supposed to. And if I would have gone, it would have probably killed all three of us. And I was a complete mess at that moment. And I just thank God again, because if I had been in the thought process where I was earlier that day, we wouldn't be here right now. So he works in good ways.
Praise God. Thanks, Constance. Life is hard, and we are a family, right? And Constance just got a lot more prayers just by sharing. I think Ryan was up next, and then we'll come in front.
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Ryan Allen. Let me try to get through this. As you do know me, I'm a pretty outgoing, you know, outgoing guy. But over the years, I struggle with depression, and about 3 months ago, depression hit me really bad. And if you've never been through depression or anything, it's I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. There was a month there where I didn't want to get out of bed. I didn't want to do anything. And one of the worst parts about it is, like, I didn't want anything to do with my son. But through the whole thing, through the support of my wife and family and people in this church, I got through it. And it was the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's just amazing. You know, I read this book when I was in the middle of it. It's called, none of you have never read it, I recommend it. It's called The Forgotten God. It's by Francis Chan. It speaks about how we've, the modern church, how we've kind of, I've kind of forgotten that the Holy Spirit isn't just this, thing that lives around, but actually lives inside of us. And if we're a believer, we have the power of the Holy Spirit. And those couple months there it's a true testimony. I mean, without the Holy Spirit, I don't know how I would have gotten through it. It's just amazing. And the other things the Lord has been teaching me through it, and even now, is that it's just being transparent. For so many years, especially being back in this church, coming to church, I've always just kind of put on the church face and smiled and said, yeah, everything's great, but when times are not, this is a place where you're supposed to come and be real. That's what I want to be from now on. That's what the Lord's put on my heart. For many years I struggled with alcohol, and probably a lot of you didn't know that. But today, it's awesome. Today actually marks 3 months since my last drink, and it's amazing. For the men in here, if you don't feel involved in the men's ministry, the Bible study, I recommend it. It's awesome. Just to be able to, I've shared a lot of this with the guys in the men's group, and it's just awesome that the Lord is, and there's even an awesome women's ministry. Take advantage of it. For many months and years, I just, I don't need it. I don't need to go. Made excuses. It's so important to be connected to the church. Let's not come on Sundays. And also, I've also learned about getting counseling. I always thought that counseling was just like I don't need counseling. That's for weird psychos or whatever. But I mean, it's true. And the Lord has blessed this church with an awesome counselor. Ashley, God's put it on his heart. That's another thing he does. And I've been going to counsel with Ashley, and it is amazing when you learn about yourself. The way God made you. I always thought I was an extrovert, and I was just, an outgoing person. But I've learned that I'm, kind of in the middle. I'm not a outgoing, need to be around people 24/7. And that's really helped me understand myself and to, understand how God made me. So I just, I encourage everybody to that.
Thanks, God. Thank you, Ron. Ms. Carla?
This is really hard for me. I'm not somebody who gets up and talks. I'm a under-the-radar kind of person. But I just need everybody here to know what a blessing some of you are. This church family has just been absolutely phenomenal. Moved here from Colorado. We have no family, no friends here. I started coming to this church. I was given the strength to leave an unhealthy marriage. I didn't know where I was going to go, what I was going to do. The women's Bible study, they prayed that I would find a place to live. And that week, I got a call. I got a beautiful condo right down the street. Moving day, men from this church who didn't even know me showed up at my house and loaded up trucks and moved me and Taylor into our new house. And it's just been nonstop little things. Miss Nell, she just kind of wormed her way right into our lives and kind of adopted us. And, she's good at that. She has just become so dear to us. But there's so many others of you that just a simple, hey, how you doing? You doing all right? We're thinking about you. We're praying for you. And you mean it. And that's huge. For me, it's been such a blessing, and I know for Taylor as well. It's been a hard 2 years, but it's been the strength of this family that's gotten us through it.
Praise God. Thank you. It is so important, and I so many times when we get to a trial in our life, you know, what do? If you go look across the street and all those houses over there, what's around almost every single one of them? A fence. So many times we do just the opposite when a trial comes to our life. We put a fence up around us because we don't want people to know that I'm struggling or that I'm supposed to be this, I'm supposed to be that. And when you let down, when you tear down that fence, you know, somebody can love you. And it is a beautiful thing. So I encourage you, you know, tear the fence down. Be as Ryan said, transparent. He went so long, you know, not being until you, and some people that's easy for. I get that. You know, it's easy for me to be transparent. Nancy says too much, too transparent. But for some, it's very difficult. But I realize that. But let those walls down so somebody can love you. And again, it's not perfect. We're not a perfect family. There's no such thing. We're not going to love you perfectly, right? You're going to think, man, why didn't they call me? They knew I was hurting. They didn't call me today. You know, we're going to fail in the midst of it. But that's not our heart, you know. So let that wall down. Dr. Dan over there.
My name is Dan Pompa, and 19 years ago I had a colon cancer operation. And there I was on the gurney. It was the old Annapolis Church Hospital. And I was on the gurney saying the 23rd Psalm. And the anesthesiologist said, I'm going to give you something to make you relax. I said, I don't need that. I'm fine. I never was afraid. I knew the Lord would be with me because I prayed. Anyway, it takes 8 to 9 days to get healed from colon cancer. I was in the hospital 3 nights. The fourth morning, I went home.
Praise God.
And I want to tell you, it's all because of prayer. I lost my wife a couple of years ago, and my life's been lonely. And then I met a man named Ollie Waskey, and we're just like brothers. He's the one that got me to come to this church. And like that lady with the blonde hair, I don't know her name, but I was a member of Safe Harbor Church when it was in the middle school, and I was there for many, many years. And I never really felt like I learned very much until I came to this church. I learned more about the Bible, and the people here are just superb. Anyway, I taught in college, biological science, and I also taught in the School of Nursing, so I know a lot about anatomy and physiology. So my good friend Ollie said, would you read my medical report? I said, certainly. Well, he was diagnosed as having cancer of the lung, and it was metastasizing, which means it's spreading. So then he got on chemo with pills, and the first time, one was just tore up his liver, just like Tylenol did to my wife. She almost died from that. But anyway, he got over that, and then he stopped taking the medication, but he went, and the doctor prescribed another one. And this one really knocked out his platelets and his blood. Platelets have to do with clotting of your blood. So I've been praying for him. He doesn't take any medication. He has good nutrition. And he's said to me, would you read my report? I said, Ollie, it's a miracle. Amen. It hasn't spread anymore, and it's actually getting smaller.
Praise God.
So I think that's just a wonderful story, and I bless everybody here.
Praise God.
Keep praying because it does work.
Amen.
God bless.
Praise God. And I just want to clarify there too that Safe Harbor is just a different church, right? They and we all have our expressions. We all fit into families different. You know what I mean? That sometimes we'll feel closer in one family than we will a different one. And sometimes that's us. And sometimes it may be just the people we're sitting around. You just never know. But God does that. He brings you together with somebody that you fit with. And there's many folks that fit there and all the churches that are all over Kent Island. Sometimes you fit better at one than you do at the other. And he brings people around you on purpose to love you, right? And sometimes it's just at a different place. You just never know how he's going to do that. So that's a blessing. Anybody else as we finish up? Cindy.
The church background that I came from was Lutheran, And I didn't understand too much about the Holy Spirit. But as I got older, I did understand. And something came that has really, really helped me. Each one of us today has a little communion cup. And I fill my communion cup with water. And it sits on my windowsill. And you know that water goes down. And that water to me is the Holy Spirit. And when I see the water go down, I take the cup, fill it with water, and ask the Lord again, please fill me with your indwelling Spirit.
Praise God.
So it's a wonderful, wonderful to keep you in contact with Him who lives within us.
Amen. A good reminder, right? That's awesome. Great testimony. We'll have to go get some communion cups so you can get one on the way out the door if that's your idea. Because yeah, we probably already threw them away now. But that's a wonderful idea, just a tool, right? A tool for you. Some people put scripture on their mirror and just all kinds of things. And that's a beautiful one to remember to say, Lord, please give me a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit today. All right, and we'll finish up with Mr. Ollie over there. Oh, Steve. We'll finish up with Steve. Maybe. We'll see.
Hello.
There we go.
I don't want to keep you all here all day, but I have to follow up with what Dr. Dan said, because it's so important that you understand this, that with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
January of last year, I was diagnosed with a cancer, as he told you, and I'm supposed to be dead right now. Through the prayers and the anointing of the elders of this church, through a nutritional program that God led me into, I'm still here. And it's amazing to me how when you are given a death sentence, how you react. Nobody knows how they're going to react when you're told that. And the way I reacted was I went into seclusion for about 3 days and really thought about, do I have my affairs in order? What's going to happen, et cetera, with my kids, all the things that you may think about. But then I talked to Pastor Tom, did a lot of praying. A lot of people were praying for me. One thing led to another, and I did do the chemo, as Dr. Dan had told you. But more importantly, the real point of what I want to make here is that to be plugged into a church like this that really is caring people that do pray, not say, I'll pray for you, and you know they're not going to pray for you. And equally important is to get involved. I had never really gotten involved in a Bible study till after I got the diagnosis. And I came to the men's Bible study, and it's amazing to me within this church, the leaders that are here, that they kind of remain under the radar. And I'm in a group with Mike Windsor and Bob King and Mr. Billy Denny and my good friend Dr. Dan, and Gordon is also in the group. And what we've learned from each other is just amazing. I've learned more about the Bible within the past year than probably in my whole life. And then to be able to apply that in your life is obviously the most important thing, as you were saying, Ashley. When you have a situation like mine, there's a lot of people, all eyes are on you when they hear that. And it's like where I work, people come up and all say, you know, how you doing? Are you, you know, it's like they want to know what stage of death you're in. And it really is true. And when you can say to them, by the grace of God, I am still here because of my beliefs and because of my faith, and I feel better than ever, and I really do. And the Lord has left me here for a reason.
Amen.
I know what my reason is now, and that's to give glory to His name and to spread the gospel. I can't thank my brothers in the Bible study group enough for their dedication to teaching the old guys like us that haven't taken the advantage all these years to learn. And that's pretty sad that I haven't, but I'm learning and I'm growing. And I praise God that I'm still here, and I pray that I'll be here for many years to come. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. We're really happy you're still here too, Mr. Ollie. Praise God. We're going to finish up with Trump. I think. Trump the last one? Trump's the last one. Go ahead, Trump.
My name's Steve also. I think a lot of what Paula was saying, and I really, my hands are not sweating, but my pulse is racing. I really didn't want to get up here and say anything, but anyway, I know a lot of people over the years have prayed for me, and at least I have a relationship with, you know, Christ and God, and Ron's one of them. My wife is. I'm real nervous. Anyway, you know, I heard probably a little over 5 years somebody up here talking about Celebrate Recovery, and I lived a double life for a long time. I used to, you know, I used to really drink a lot, and that masked a lot of things in my life. So anyhow, I thank God for a lot of people in here. I thank God that, you know, it's been a little over 5 years since my last drink, and
thanks God.
And there's people still here help me, you know, to understand who I am and my part, how I fit in with the church body here and everything. And you know, I just praise the Lord that, you know, doing that, you know, I'm able to really plug in and serve God, and I just praise Him for that. Thank you.
Amen. Thanks, Steve. It is so important to get plugged in, and there's so many ways to do that. You know, our Bible studies are a good way to come in and just to learn, you know, who we are. And the another beautiful thing is also to take time to do this within our community. You know, there's so many people that need you. You know, and I'm talking to you believers. The ones that you know what's been said today, you got this same testimony. Give that to your neighbor. They're in such desperate need, our world is, of a friend. You know, most people, they do studies all the time to see why people come to church. You know, they don't come to church to hear the Word of God. That's not why they show up here first time. They show up the first time because they're looking for a friend, for somebody who cares about them. Because it is hard. You know, left apart from Christ, and even with Him, we're very selfish, right? Be that person for somebody else. Let's pray. Lord God, I just I thank You so much for these testimonies, Lord. It is so beautiful to see what You're doing in the lives of Your people, Lord. I thank You for these that have stood and hearts racing, palms sweating, Lord, to say this is my God. And He is a mighty God. So I thank You for that, Lord. I thank You for those who sat and listened and got to be encouraged through what You're doing in others' lives. Lord, sometimes we just need that, Lord, to continue on, to know that our life is important and that You have a plan for ours as well. So, Lord, I just ask that You would bless us with that knowledge, that we can truly go out into our community and love like You would, that we would see them with Your eyes, that we could open our hearts to people and as Ryan said, be transparent, be real with people. And we don't have it all figured out. Most people out there think we're perfect in here, and we're far from that. Lord, help us to tell them that and to be honest and forthright. Lord, I just ask blessing as we go from this place. Lord, you are worthy to be praised, and we give You honor and glory this day. Lord, take us the rest of our day and just help us to remember. I like that fresh filling of the Spirit, Lord, that Miss Cindy spoke of. Lord, give us that today, that we can be more like You. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a great day.